The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
To Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the two free ebooks. All you have to do is leave an email address. Away you go. One to make you think, the other one will get you doing some big action there. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We've got close to 700 right now. We've only been up a little over 2 years, so as everyone knows, you know, we haven't been doing it this year as much because of what we have to do with the business to become very solvent so we can stay here. But I was doing 9 to 15 shows a week, and I work every day of the week, and I bust my can really hard because, in my opinion, this will be the biggest podcast ever in the world. And we're streaming now. We're an internet radio station, and I want millions of listeners, and I'll get that. And we are looking at a lot of other things. There's a lot of people have contacted us about possibly bringing the show on their radio station too. But right now, we've got other priorities. So there's an awful lot going on here all the time. Also, too, when you go out there, check out, you know, all the other shows. I mean, we've got everything from MMA to strongman to stone lifting to bodybuilding to nutrition. You name it, it's out there. There's genres all over the place. Well, today, everyone knows my feeling. I love introducing new people to the family with the idea they're going to want to hang around here for the next 28 to 30 years. And we've got Jeremy Best on here today. Now, I've seen a lot of the stuff out, obviously, on Facebook. The guy's always got some beautiful stuff he's buying used. I love all that stuff. You know, the old stuff that you'd find in a barn somewhere that somebody's like, it's not worth anything. Give me $10. And you'll find old York stuff. I had a buddy of mine find an old York power rack. The person gave it away. So there's treasures out everywhere. But we're going to give you a little information on Jeremy before we bring him in. Number one, he is a weightlifter. Obviously, we know he's a collector. And this man has been sober for 6 years, and he's going to talk about the influence and how weightlifting really brought him back, I guess, to his own reality, to what he wanted to become and what he wanted to defeat. So we're going to really get into a very good story here, and we're going to watch how he's progressed and where he is today. Jeremy, welcome to Motivation Muscle, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me on. I'm really excited. You know, I initially reached out to you because I felt like I could contribute something.
Yep.
You know, maybe not elite numbers or whatever, but, you know, when you were on there talking about, it's like a self-help show, you know,
yep,
with everything I believe in, with the physical fitness and whatnot.
Yep.
So.
Well, no, you're right on the money. You know, I've said this from the very beginning. You know, just to equate this, you know, we don't care if you lift a 500-pound stone or 150-pound, because, see, I believe that everybody's got a story in them. I believe that there's lots of people that kind of get mowed over because, whether they're big numbers or whatever, people discount what they say, and everybody has got something to give, and that's the way this show has been from day one. You know, we've had huge names on here, and we're going to keep going that way. But I'm not adverse to having, you know, as we talk about, the guys in the garage, the guys outside, the guys in the basement, whatever it is. It's all it holds a lot of water here, and there's a lot of people that are not elite athletes. And this kind of talk, and there's a lot of people going through things all the time, as I say, this is mental therapy here. You know, everybody wants a book and all that. Well, you come listen to this show, you're going to walk away with something every time. Why don't you give our family, you know, now you're part of the family, why don't you give everybody a little bit of a bio on yourself? And as everybody knows, when I introduce a new person to the show, there's a certain amount, you know, we ask some questions, and we'll get into some more of Jeremy's life. So take it away, my friend.
Well, basically, the bug hit me, you know, in junior high. I don't know if I was 13, 14 years old, somewhere around there. And, you know, my dad had the concrete weight set in the basement. And I found myself going to that for, you know, I started doing it and I was hooked. And,
yep.
you know, if things would happen at school or this or that, I would take it out on that. And I was hooked. I went all through high school working the Arnold Schwarzenegger Book of Bodybuilding. That was where I learned from, and I was constantly hitting the weights. And,
yep.
you know, I've developed lats and those sorts of things. I never really got into the squatting and the heavy stuff back then. It was all more of a exercise routine.
Yep.
But I've carried on, you know, consistently throughout my whole life, no matter what I've been through. I've always consistently been doing some sort of training, you know, in high school, it went from that to the YMCA. And then after high school, I've always maintained some sort of a home gym.
Yep.
And, you know, and I like tinkering around with new stuff and sometimes building my own equipment or whatever. But, you know, and then I'd mentioned to you the sobriety thing.
Yep.
I became heavily involved in drinking for 15 years, you know, in and out, you know, getting in trouble. And it was always something that I felt like I had a problem with. I never could quite kick. And then for whatever reason, you know, it stuck about 6 years ago to where I gave it up altogether, and I was able to make it stick, which is the biggest
awesome.
Thing, you know, if
yep.
someone's trying to stop. And
yep.
I remember a Sunday morning being like, you know, it's like normally on the weekends I'm fried all weekend or whatever. And I get up one Sunday morning and I'm like, I'm going to squat. I'm like, this is difficult stuff. I never did this. I used to bench and do leg extensions and do all these other things. And I loved it, but I never did the big stuff. And
yep.
I started squatting like 6 years ago. And I started doing that every Sunday morning, and probably just a couple years ago did I finally start deadlifting. But I started kind of going to more of a power-oriented thing and educating myself more on power lifting or those sorts of things. And I could definitely see a big change. And, you know, the sobriety thing enabled me to be able to apply myself to
sure,
this.
Sure.
And then I branched off into, like, you've seen the collecting stuff.
Oh,
You know,
yeah.
I've got all this time now. And all this energy, and it's kind of like you're reborn, and all of a sudden I found Strength History, you know, and I'm listening to guys like Bill Hinburn on your show or
sure.
meeting these guys that are into collecting weights,
yep.
and now I've been able to, like, really enjoy the hobby, you know, every aspect of it. There's history, there's equipment, there's now, because of you guys, I'm building fat bars and things at home, and, you know.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah. Well, let me ask you this, this is always the first question I ask everybody is this. I mean, obviously, you've had a little bit more things that needed attention, but let's roll back a little bit, even before with sobriety, and you like the training and stuff and weights. You know, we always talk about here, what was your influences? Well, anybody that knows me, obviously, it was my brother Jimmy, who died of muscular dystrophy, and the Incredible Hulk. Those were my two major influences to get into weight training. But is there anything that you would pinpoint that really got you stirred up?
You know, it's really funny is I remember the Incredible Hulk being a little bit of an influence when I was younger. I don't know if that was my parents pushing that on me. I don't remember that much about it, but I do remember a few little key things, like my sisters growing up were really into music, and I would lose interest in the conversation in the household, and I like music and everything, but it just wasn't my thing, and I would go off to my part of the house and start lifting. Or I remember a kid bullying me in like sixth or seventh grade and going home all fired up and thinking, you know, he's bigger than me.
Yep.
I'm going to get bigger than him, so I'm going to start lifting weights,
yep.
you know?
Yep.
And so I can remember a few incidences there, but over the years, I've always found it as a great thing to come back to. And, you know, getting sober and then getting back out there into relationships and
yep.
things like that I hadn't really been too involved in for years.
Yep.
I found that you're going through new emotional trials that you haven't been through in a long time sober, and you're always worried, you know, oh, I might relapse because
right.
you know, these
right.
things happening. And now I've been like, you know what, you know, I can get sober, and it's like, if I got something on my mind, I should be down there at the squat rack, you know, burning it, blowing it out.
Yeah.
And once
yep.
you get done with that, you know, you don't have the energy to go out and do anything stupid, and you're
no,
you know,
no, right.
feel good the next right. day.
Well,
know?
Yeah, the whole thing is, you know, you equate that to the squats, I mean, that reinforces what you believe at that point, you know, and you're not tempted to go out and do anything that could end up potentially hurting you the rest of your life, you know, and that's a smart move. And that's one of the big things right now I want to ask you is this. I mean, when you were having drinking issues all the time, were you training even during that? Or, I know what you said, you woke up one Sunday morning and you started squatting, okay? And I get that reference totally, how you equate that. But were you training during that time? And if you were, obviously, you know, at least you stayed in it, even though, you know, whether you knew what was happening or not at that point. So were you still training then? And then what was it? I mean, obviously, I know what you said. You got Sunday morning and you said, look, I'm going to go down and squat, because you knew that at that point you had to make a change. But was there stuff prior to that where you said, I've got to do something, but maybe you just weren't ready at that point?
You know, over the years, I've always consistently been involved in some sort of a workout program,
sure.
But it's never really progressed. It was always, you know, whatever I did when I was in junior high, you know, lat pull downs, bench press, you know, this and this and that. And my drinking kind of went in phases over the years, and a lot of alcoholics will be like that, where some parts of their life, 7 days a week, some parts of their life, it's 5 days a week. So, you know, and I went through different phases in life where I was doing it more than others, or, you know, but I usually could keep somewhat of a routine, but obviously, even if you're just drinking 3 days a week, that carries over into the rest of the week,
sure.
And you're not ever going to be able to apply yourself, you know, as well as you could,
yep.
You know, getting off of it altogether. So I always had a consistent, somewhat of a consistent program going most of my life. I don't remember too many periods where I wasn't doing something, and it might have only been doing it twice a week, but I'm the type of person that would train really hard, and once I touch the weights, I'm going to fly for 3 hours, you know?
Sure, sure.
And it doesn't matter if it's cables or smaller dumbbells or whatever I used to do, I would definitely work hard, and, you know, and I technically probably never ate right for it, slept right for it. I overtrained, probably, whatever you want to call it. So, you know, there's definitely between getting sober, educating myself.
Sure.
Then there's, you know, I was able to really step things up and start doing things that you guys talk about more on the show, more strength oriented things. And
well, you know, something that's the main thing. You know, I'm like to the point with, there's so many terms that I feel are just so overused now. But, you know, the thing that's very interesting about, especially the way this show has grown, you know, from 2014 to where we are today, is obviously it's going to evolve, because, you know, whether it's I'm reaching out to people or people reaching out to me, there's always a commonality. I've never really had anybody on here that there wasn't. It didn't matter what you did. And everybody's got different stories to tell. You know, everybody's got a ton of failures. Everybody's got a ton of goals. Everybody's got a ton of wins. And that's the whole idea with weightlifting in general, because it's more than just lifting weights, obviously. And you know, I'm trying to clear this up for a lot of people that we want to get into it, that are on the fence, because it does much more than just get you stronger. It drills deep right into your heart and your soul, and it's going to take you in places that I don't know anything else there that does. I mean, I've played a ton of sports, made the All-Stars, all that stuff. But as we were saying with Carmen, who was just on, I knew when I touched that barbell for the first time, those leaky sand weights with that wooden bench, I knew I had found it, because I didn't mind being on teams, but I was always a guy that liked to take the responsibility. As Steve Jack would say, shoulder some responsibility. It was the ability to go down there, and even if you trained with, you know, I trained with one of my best friends who was like my brother initially, and my brothers, for a lot of years, until the strain finally broke us all apart. There's nothing like that. There's nothing that matches it. If you stay very healthy, I mean, you look at Carmen Caputo, 71 years old, breaking records this past weekend. You got Bill Hinburn. I mean, incredible guy. You know, we've got guys like Frank DeMayo on here. These guys, Steven Santangelo, we're talking guys well in their 60s and 70s that are still very relevant, very current, very strong, and when you talk to them, they sound like a guy 20 years that what they are. So we're, you know, we're talking easily fit for late 40s to early 50s. And they have exuberance and they have passion. And I talked to a lot of them offline. In fact, the other day I was on the phone with Steven Santangelo for over 3 hours. I don't do that with many people, especially with what I do here, because I've got to really protect myself vocally. Steven is one of the most interesting people I've ever met in my life. He is just absolutely incredible, and I love when he'll say to me, I just might have to go to Iceland with you and break your ass with that stone. And I was like, come on, man. You know what I mean? But he's a guy that's very sincere, and he gives a damn about people. And that's how just about everybody that's I've ever dealt with here on the show, past and present. So I will say this to you, and I'm going to ask you next question, obviously, but I'll tell you this. If you ever get the opportunity to weightlift, if you ever get the opportunity to have somebody like a Jeremy or myself or any of the other people associated with here, take it, because I'm telling you, you will have the best years of your life, and I can guarantee you, and you're going to learn more about yourself than any self-help book. Anybody where you can go and listen, you know, there's some good people doing seminars, but my belief is this, and I'll say it right to the very end, is when I started training alone is when I started to get really good. Because, and you also got to have that personality. Let's be straight with one another, because not everybody can train alone. Unfortunately, that's too bad. A lot of people at times are going to need somebody to push them or be there, or they don't want to load all the weights by themselves. There's a billion things that can go through your head. Myself, I did stuff this morning. You know, I'm doing a lot of dumbbell work I've been doing for a while with a lot of different things for the stone, and we're going to start filming more of it, but I'm keeping a lot of it under wraps. I took everybody, if you don't know, I've built a lot of equipment here. Well, I haven't. I designed it. It was built by my buddy who's a welder. And this piece goes right across the width of the power rack, and you can press or pull out of it. And basically what it is, it's, you know, it's two big pieces of solid steel with a hole in the center all the way down. And basically the other thing, the part where you attach it to the rack, are these big tubes welded to it where basically you put the long rods of the rack through it, pin it in the back on both sides, and you got something. You couldn't break this thing. And I had it down to about mid forehead, and I ripped out of there, pressed it, a 139 and a half, 2-inch dumbbell. And I took those things and locked them out like nothing. Now that's a big lift. I mean, I'm going to keep growing with it more and more, but when you take something from mid forehead with, and I was only using 10-pound plates. I wasn't using 25s or anything to raise it up. When that thing sits in that bucket there and you got to put your hand through the middle, that's one thing to even use a 1-inch bar. You're using a 2-inch here, and it puts twice as much load on everything. So that was a good starter for today, and that's basically what weightlifting's all about. You want to progress with everything. You can be any size you want. It's the same thing I talk about with sandbags and stones. You come here, I can take anything I've got here and turn it into any size you want. So, Jeremy, tell me this. Obviously, you know, you're very into the lifting. There's no doubt about it. You do stuff I love, which is collecting. That is like one of the most incredible things. But tell me this, especially with the things you were going through with alcohol and all that, what do you feel? I mean, what pushed you in the weightlifting? Obviously, you said you were doing it all along, but what finally went off in you that said, hey, look, I've got to do something here. I'm in trouble. I've always been comfortable with the weights. It sounds like you've gone back to them, especially if you had problems with people that were pushing you around, shoving you around, the whole thing. What was it that finally went off in you that you said, this is what I've got to do and this is what I'm going to do for good?
You know, I just, you know, throughout my life, I kind of knew, you know, okay, you do this thing and you love working out, whatever. Obviously, I never did strength sports as a kid, so I didn't do squatting. I didn't, and whatever. And for whatever reason, I avoided that stuff for years. But I do remember always thinking, you know, maybe someday when you're older, you can, you know, go at this weightlifting thing a little harder or this or that. And, you know, and obviously, you know, with the drinking and this and that, I was never going to be able to go all out on anything.
Sure,
I did, I feel like, was always just a little bit not to my full potential. And I just remembered thinking, you know, you've got, you know, you when I was younger, I was really into drag racing. I was into things like that. And I'm like, you know, I'm not interested in any of that anymore. And I got up that day and I'm like, you know, now's my opportunity to do something with the lifting a little bit better. You know, and I walked around most of my adult life at 200 pounds, you know, in somewhat decent shape. But, you know, this was my opportunity to try this. And it's like, okay, squatting's uncomfortable if you're a guy who's never done anything but bench pressed and, you know, and done those kind of exercises. And I did it. And I'm like, okay, you know, and I started to dabble into it. And once I started to see some progress, it was like, okay, well, you know, this is something I'm going to keep doing. And now I'm walking around at 235 all the time. And, you know, I got guys asking me, how did you get your bench over 300 pounds or that? And I'm like, squatting. I go, this squatting and, you know, and doing the bigger lifting and everything has changed everything. So, I mean, I don't know exactly where I'm going with it, but I'm always going to be doing something with it. And it's a lot of fun, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing you got to remember is the base builds everything, you know, whether you're doing a squat, deadlift, and a bench press or overhead. You can never get away from the basics, and everything that you do from this point on is going to always be built around the basics. You know, we do a ton of strongman stuff here. We've got a ton of stones. Obviously, we do everything dead stop in the rack. We don't do rebounding. Obviously, deadlifts might be a little different, but, you know, if you're pulling a big deadlift out of the rack, same thing, you know, off the rods, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing is, the basics will always be the center of everything you do. And I know more and more people now, especially when they want to keep something very simple for a while, they always go back to the foundation. And you can't build anything that doesn't have a strong foundation. And that's the, you know, when you're talking about, you know, benching and, you know, you never did any squats and all that, there's no doubt about it. Your body's going to suffer. And you're only going to get so strong because it's like everything, you know, a deadlift, a row, a squat, anything like that, dips. A lot of things that have been kind of lost over the years. Obviously, the deadlift is still there and the squat is there. But, you know, you look at big movements like pullovers, dips, bent rows. You know, I just started doing recently the Jefferson lift. A lot of things that were quite potent way, way back when. You know, I know through the show a lot of people are doing this stuff now. And they're very, very important. But it all comes down to what your goals are, too. Now, at this phase of your life, I mean, would you ever want to get into any type of competitions? Are you thinking about that? What's got you stirred right now for the next few years? I mean, obviously, you've had triumph over addiction. So where do you want to go at this point? Have you thought about it at all?
Well, I think once I started doing the powerlifting moves, I kind of looked at it as like something that I could possibly compete in, and I went and did a meet last, you know, it was like a local gym meet, a brand new gym, and some friends around here were like, hey, you should go to this, and I went there. First time I had been in a gym, I think, since high school. Like So I was a little nervous about that because I'm kind of getting back out there socially, but I went in there, and it's like as soon as you put that bar on your back, it's like you're right at home, you know. And I'm not doing, like I said, huge numbers or whatever, but I completed that meet. And that has kind of gave me something to look at as far as more of a numbers-oriented goal-setting, training goal.
Yeah.
And I think I've kind of got my eyes set on doing that a little bit. I'm not necessarily sure if I'm real stirred up to do a lot of actual competing.
Yep.
I might do some, but right now I'm looking at it from a numbers perspective. Like, I was hoping to keep getting the numbers up a little bit there, because you guys have got me all excited about stone lifting now, and I'm like, well, I need to work on my grip and get these numbers up, and then I can start messing around with the stones. You know?
So, the thing is, too, I mean, the grip work's going to help the deadlift and anything else. We know that. I'll tell you what. Stones and sandbags, I can't say it enough, will propel you into being such a better lifter, too. I think that anything like that that's, you know, odd object, obviously I always caution people, too, because, I mean, you're going to test a lot of areas you haven't done, and especially the grip. We know that many of people over here, too, have been humbled just by their grip, myself included initially. I don't pick up everything all the time either. But your fingers, your hands, your wrists, so very important. I mean, so important. And, you know, James Fuller had told me one time we were doing a show, he's like, you need to deadlift with a bigger bar, you know. I mean, I had the Apollon, but we got the 3-inch here. And he goes, you need to do that. And, you know, there I am doing, you know, there's a picture of it. And he said, but what you got to do to really get the fingers strong is you got to spread your fingers right out, like the webbing between each finger. And I'll tell you what, that's some painful stuff. But I'll tell you another thing, your grip goes bananas when you do things like that. So it's like the little things you learn along the way. It's the same thing when we were talking about the Thomas Inch dumbbell here. I've pulled it a few inches off the ground, obviously, and that's it. And right now, I just don't have the time to work on it. You know, between here and training out there with the stuff I'm using, it's almost impossible. But I remember we were talking about the weak link with the inch, and the weak link, not only with the inch, it's with a lot of things, is your thumb. And Bill Hinburn and I were talking about this. I've talked to other people. I've got the old Iron Mind Titans Telegraph, and I'll wrap my thumb around there and, you know, get as much weight up as I can. It's absolutely amazing when you think of things. It's like, you know, who would ever think to lift a stone you need strong fingers and do anything else? I mean, a thumb, all that. Obviously, they're going to get stronger just naturally doing it. But, you know, who thinks about, okay, I got to work this stuff direct if I got to get it off the ground? Well, I got news for you. I do like crazy. And it's just like, you know, you don't want to go somewhere with a bunch of people that you've worked real hard on and get embarrassed because you have no grip. And that's a big thing, because you need grip for everything you participate in. Right down from, you know, I love just taking like things like a football or a basketball and try to palm it because the hands are so strong. You know, squeeze a football and throw it. Watch how far that thing goes, man. I mean, it's a lot of fun. And the whole idea, especially with doing stones, I mean, you know, fingers, thumb, wrist, forearms especially, because I'll tell you this. You start carrying stones and you got to bear hug them, you better have some forearms on you too. And I know a lot of people poo-poo this, but after a bicep tear, I don't. Work your biceps directly. And I'm telling you right now, you'll never have a problem. The thing is I got in some trouble and I paid the price for it. But that's the way it is. You want to go away big places, you want to lift with big people, you want to carry big things. Sometimes accidents happen. Now what you do is you correct that and you get ready to go again. So go ahead, take it away, man.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, it's like I said, I don't necessarily know if I have a lot of aspirations to compete in powerlifting.
Right.
When I was younger, I told you I was really heavily into drag racing, and I spent a lot of weekends sitting at drag strips and this and that, and with, you know, powerlifting meets, obviously you have to be there for a while, and it's not that I can't do that, and I'm not going to maybe do it some, but I think my passion has turned into experimenting. You know, I want to do the powerlifting to gauge my overall strength, but I like experimenting with all these things and fabricating these things and everything, and I'm enjoying the fact that I'm not a super skilled tradesman or anything like that, but I can weld, and I have all the equipment around here to do a lot of stuff with, you know, with tubing and chains and things like that. And so I'm always finding myself developing things. A lot of it's based off of guys from this show, you know, and for grip training.
Sure.
And I never logged workouts until like 2 years ago.
Okay.
I never logged anything. So now, you know, I'm definitely progressing all the time. And if I'm not going to be progressing, you know, on the squat as rapidly or this or that, I'm going to be, you know, working on the grip, logging.
Yep.
So I'm definitely piling into a lot of different stuff. And I'm at a point right now, obviously, where I've got to pick and choose, you know, what I'm going at, or I run myself into the ground, you know.
Well, you always got to be careful of that. And the nice thing is there's a lot of advantages to what you're doing where, you know, even if you get a little burned out on a lift, I mean, you know, so what? You're not deadlifting anymore. Now you go out and do some farmer's walk. The ability to pull in and pull out, I mean, same way with pressing, you know, well, the bench is getting a little stale. What am I going to do here? Maybe I do drop it down a little bit. Maybe I start doing some partials. I don't know. Or, you know, you go to the overhead, whether you pull it out of a set of squat stands, do it in a power rack, or you do it the old-fashioned way to clean and press it. So the nice thing about this is, see, you're never not going to have things that you can't do. I mean, obviously some things you're going to excel in more than others. But I think that's what the real fun of this whole thing is. It's like when you're down on your knees, basically, and you just don't feel like you can move anymore. You know, you get yourself together, obviously, and maybe you go and do something else. And that's a good way to get very, very sharp and strong, because we all know, as much as we like doing XYZ, we can't stay on it forever. I mean, not only are you going to have boredom, staleness, and possibly injury, you need to explore new things. You need other things to knock you back. You need other things where they're really going to try to take the life right out of you. If you can recognize these things and make the adjustments, I mean, the ability to perform is just unbelievable. But when, you know, you just kind of like discount it, or, you know, I'll get to it another time. You know, if you're thinking on those lines, success is not going to be in your back pocket very often. And I know, because I talk to a lot of people, obviously on and off the show, I've talked to a lot of the casualties on the road. You know, I mean, someone will come up to you somewhere and say, do you lift weights? Well, you know that you do, but it's an icebreaker for most people. And I'm always pretty cordial to people. And we'll get talking and they'll say, well, I went here, or I had this trainer, or I went both and had the trainer in the gym, and I got nowhere. I got injured. Maybe I didn't show up sometimes, or I wasn't progressing. And where you see this really pretty bad is a lot of people that are overweight. And that's really tragic, because it's not as bad as it seems. And if you can still move, and you still can do a few things, there's no reason why just doing body weight work like we do it here. It's very minimal on your knees and joints, and you can start getting yourself in a better place. And see, this is a thing a lot of people don't understand. You're going to have to take small steps to get big gains. I can't say that enough. Once you get going, you'd be surprised what you can accomplish. Now, let me ask you this, Jeremy. Obviously, you know, you're a weight trainer. You know what you're doing here. You don't know. I mean, you want to see eventually down the road how much you can max out, I'm sure, on every lift. And, you know, you go from there. But do you feel, well, I mean, obviously you go out and collect a lot too, and that's a great, great thing, I think. But do you feel also too that you have other aspirations? I know we talked about stones, but could you ever see yourself, all right, we'll still keep the basics, but could you ever see yourself doing more of a strongman routine? You know, we're talking farmer's walk, stones, we could be talking a yoke, you know, anything like that. Do you ever see that in your future?
You know, you've seen a lot of the stuff that I collect.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
I like to do a lot of Craigslist collecting and this and that, and I've been meeting a lot of people. You know, and every now and then, you know, some guys will have some, you've piqued my interest in all the different strength equipment. So anytime I see something I don't have or I haven't done and it's cheap, I try to pick it up. So I've got like a frame out there.
Nice.
It's you know, it's like actually made of wood, but I carried like 350 or 380 or something on it the one day, and I played around with it, and I've got a Husafell stone out there, but it's, you know, for an entry level lifter, it's probably, it's 263.
Yep.
You know, I haven't done anything with it yet, but I play around with some of that stuff. I think I told you when we spoke on the phone the one day that, you know, Will Dinwiddie got me all fired up listening to him talk on here, and he's talking about grabbing hundreds of pounds and walking a mile or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I never did weighted carries or whatever, but I ordered like an 80-pound weighted vest, and I actually walked a mile with it. Which
nice.
You know, for someone, you know, I did like 20, 60, and then I'm like, all right, I'm going straight to 80, and I walked, we have a bike path right by my house, and it was 10 degrees out, and I walked a mile, you know, down and back's a mile total with 80 pounds, so, you know, I'm introducing myself to some stuff, but I don't have a real consistent routine right now. It's basically I focus on some, you know, the squatting.
Sure.
Benching, and then certain weeks I sub in and out things, and whether or not I want to go with heavy dumbbells, or I went through like a 3-month thing where I was doing weighted dips. A local power lifter from the 80s that I met just 3 months ago, you know, he looked at me and he goes, your triceps are a joke. You know, he goes, your bench is stuck around 315 or whatever because you're you know, nobody does dips anymore. And he told me to do dips. So I implemented dips into my routine, adding weight, and my bench went up like 20, 30 pounds within a few months. And so I keep subbing things in. Every now and then I'll be, if I'm out working outside, I might be like, okay, let's carry this frame in between sets.
Sure.
You know, but I don't have a real consistent strongman routine yet. I'm definitely looking to dabble into it. I can see for myself where the weighted carries are a good option for health and cardio. You know, I feel.
No, I agree with you. I'll tell you what, too. I don't know how much you've gotten into it. You said you've done a little bit. You really should start either building some sandbags or get some lighter stones. And I'm telling you right now, you start cleaning and pressing and walking stones, you know, start short distances and grow them. You'll see every lift you do come up. I guarantee you. It is... I've said this on so many shows that I wish I knew now when I started about carrying, I would have been a way better athlete with this stuff. Way better. The carry just works everything from head to toe, and it creates this mental fierceness in you like you wouldn't believe. I mean, if you've been paying attention, you know Dennis is here. He came in at 271. I mean, he looked 9 months pregnant. Now he's down to 245. And it hasn't been very long at all. I didn't want to put in a lot of the strongman stuff, and that's mainly whether it's walking or pulling sandbags to shoulders or stones or step-ups or whatever we do here. But the weightlifting was fine, so was the body weight, but it was not taking and motoring him down to where he needed to be. And because of that, you know, I had to implement that, and it's probably been up a little over a month now. And obviously now we're watching him start to drop and drop and drop. And, I mean, he's still got to get down to 200 by June, which is not, you know, it's doable. But we don't know what else is going on. So I think for the money, and it's not a lot of money, and especially if you're in an area where you like to be outdoors, you start dabbling into some stones and some sandbags and grow them. I think you could be one hell of a strong man or woman with it. It's not only that, too. It's not only the physical end. It engages you mentally like you wouldn't believe. And that's the big issue, I think, with everything with weightlifting. Are you being engaged? If you train somebody, are you engaging them? I would say probably 9 out of 10 times the answer would be no. Because... how can you engage somebody when you don't even know what you want or you're not doing the right thing? And this is a big problem. I mean, I believe, and that's what we were talking about before, was, you know, Carmen and I were, why are things so convoluted? Why can't anything be very simple and straightforward. And, you know, if I'm not there to help you out, you know enough with this thing where you can go and do your own workout. And it's very simple. I mean, people want to convolute the story all the time. And what does that do for you? It does not give you much of a lifting arena to get into. So I think that one of the best things to do besides all this other stuff we love is I think getting in a weighted carries can change you. I won't say more than anything, but it's up there probably in my top two. So take it away. I mean, obviously carries and things of that nature. I mean, would you be adverse to start doing that?
I can definitely see me doing it. I actually just picked up, if you were watching my Facebook, I actually just picked up 10 Atlas Stone Bowls.
I saw that. And
I, some guy, you know, he had them on there real cheap, and I was like, you know, if I can get them cheap, I'm going to get into this. And I've just been waiting until the weather picks up to start playing around with making them, and I'm definitely going to do a little bit of that and maybe get an actual routine in. I'm just not there yet. I do a little bit of, you know, when I started, I think that, you know, I discovered grip training when Adam Glass was on your show and he was talking about all the things he does.
Yep.
And it, you know, and Jed Johnson, and I started paying attention to that. And then I started to realize, wait a second, you know, I can't even deadlift 365 or more without dropping the bar, you know?
Sure.
So I started to learn that, you know, once I started deadlifting. So I do a little bit of weighted carries here with, like, some of those fat dumbbells I made.
Sure.
Like, I'll walk up and down the side yard carrying those, or, you know, 3-inch handles. Or I started doing, like, reverse curls with a 3.5-inch, or I think it was a 3.5-inch bar. I made bars of, like, every size. Any kind of scrap I get my hands on, I end up cutting it and painting it and you know. And So I've done some carries with fat dumbbells. I was doing carries around. There's an industrial building next to me. I was doing carries around that, you know, just with like 50-pound block weights. And I've done, like I said, that frame. I've done some frame carries, and I've done different weights of that. But I haven't done any, you know, sandbag or stone carries yet. I don't have sandbags. I'll definitely have to get on that, though. And I think you've seen me posting on Facebook last week. I did that, that, what do you call it? Shoot, the deadlift where the one where I went with your arms underneath it. What's that called?
Zercher lift.
The Zercher. I did the Zercher, and I told them guys, I go, I need to toughen up, and I was reading about it, and I thought, if I can learn to flex these arms really, really hard and hold the bar up against me, I feel like that's my first step towards learning how to grip something really hard and pick it up.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the best ways to do it, seriously, if you're going to start building some Atlas stones, or you get like river stones, or I personally think, especially for you, starting out initially, I would start building sandbags because for a couple reasons. Number one is they're not a lot of money. And you can go through Cerebus. That's Ken Nowicki's company. They're out of Scotland. He's the only dealer in the USA. They're really not. They're beautiful bags. I have Dennis using them. I have one here, besides many others. And they make the sleeves and they make the bag. Obviously, put them in. And the reason why I would say to you to start out with sandbags is this. You know, they're functional for anything. I mean, you and I both know you can bench with them. You can put one on a shoulder and squat with it. You can bear hug it and run. You can do like we do, shoulder to shoulder, et cetera, et cetera. And one thing I like about sandbags is this. You drop a sandbag, it hits your foot, hits your shin, whatever. Chances are, you might limp a day or two. Maybe you'll have a deep bruise. But the nice thing is, rather than a stone, and I love stones, I mean, if you're new to it and you drop something on you, you know, you might have a broken foot or you might be out of action for a while. And I think that if you started using these sandbags and really believed in them and started using them to the way we're talking about today, I think you'd be amazed at what you'd become. Regardless what body weight you want to be or whatever, those things are going to make you hard as a rock, believe me. And you know, last but not least, sandbags are a lot of fun. I think this weekend, if it's not 10 below here, we're probably going to make at least 5. And the whole process of doing them is just a lot of fun. Whether you're breaking the bags in half or you're, you know, wrapping them, we do it a certain way with garbage bags and the way we tape them and all that. I got my nephew 6 years old. He's lifting, you know, an 8 and a 12-pound sandbag, I believe it is. So it's pretty interesting stuff. And, like, yesterday we had John Patrick get a hold of me. He sent me a Facebook message of his little girls. They're 5 years old. And, I mean, they're picking stones up, man, and walking them for distance. And then we got our good friend Kelly Johnson on here, and her little girl's 3, and her son's 5, and they're grabbing sandbags. So, I mean, you talk about laying the mitt on something. I mean, it's incredible stuff, and I want to spread that stuff, especially with the younger kids, because, you know, we know diabetes is epidemic in the world, and we know a lot of kids just won't get off the couch, basically, unless they're told to. And, you know, when you're sitting there watching TV for hours upon hours, you know, I don't think that goes real well with a fitness program. So, you know, if I was going to tell you, if I was going to advise you, I'd be like, go out, start building yourself some sandbags. And I mean, really get into it. There's plenty of information out there about them. And I think that a sandbag, when used properly, can get you in the best shape of your life. So go ahead, take it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to look into that. I actually was listening to the Ken Nowicki episode earlier today, because I drive truck for a living, and that's all I do is listening, you know, most of the time to podcasts.
Cool.
And that's definitely something I'm going to look into. And you can hear it in my voice, probably, anybody out there listening, that you know if you were drinking or something like that for a long time and you get away from it for a while, and once it sets in that you're able to do, it's kind of like a freedom. And I think you can hear how excited I am.
Oh, yeah.
To be playing around with all this stuff. It's like a kid in a candy store, you know?
Sure.
And, when you're into drugs or alcohol and you're consistently thinking about that, or you're going through that same routine and you're not, you know, none of this is available to you, because you're never going to get out of that rut. You know, it's just, I'm not going to say you're never going to get out of it, but until you get out of it, things are just exciting now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're very fortunate to have beaten this stuff, you know, especially with the physicality and the mental stuff you have to go through it. I give you all the credit in the world. And that's going to be the next question right here. What do you feel you had to do mentally to settle the score with this? Because, you know, this is an ongoing thing with people the rest of their lives, whether they go and get help or they don't. What do you feel mentally you did to yourself to finally, obviously I know the squat, but how did you finally internally, because I mean this is where everything's coming from, to set your external being up, what is it you finally decided that, look, I'm chasing you out of here once and for all, and this is what I'm going to do obviously the rest of my life, because you love the weight training, but what was it that, you know, how did you change yourself mentally besides going in and saying, I'm going to squat? Because you had to make peace with something. So what did you do? I mean, finally, you beat this thing down enough where now you're doing what you want to do. You're very excited about what's coming up. Obviously, you're a collector, and we'll get into that a little bit. But what do you feel, Jeremy, at this point? Where is your success?
And I'm really glad you asked me that, because that was the whole reason I really wanted to get on here. Is I didn't, over the years I had gotten in some trouble and been through some different types of court-appointed counseling or this or that. And, you know, along that road, a lot of times you are, you're not going to stop doing what you're doing because you don't want to be told. Most guys aren't going to want to be told, or anybody, by the authorities, you need to stop doing this. It needs to be a personal thing.
Sure.
You know, and I know two or three times over the years where I quit for like 7 months or this or that, and I would always end up back in it. It always ends up bad, because, you know, if you're wired that way, you're going to get into it and it's going to escalate. But this last time here, it's like, you know, I went about it like any other time, but I think this time I had to really separate myself from from the crowd, which was really hurt, really, really hurt me to do. I was hanging with guys that I had went to kindergarten with, you know,
yeah.
And I'm in my 30s. And I had to get away from guys that I'd been around my whole life.
Yep.
And I told them all, I go, you know, I got to get away from this. And they understood and they were really cool about it. And most people, when they're going to try to change their life like that, are going to really be afraid of the unknown and the loneliness and what's going to happen when I stay away from my friends. Like, most people aren't willing to take that step. And, you know, what's going to happen and this and that. But then once you do make that step, at least in my case, it just takes you a little while. You know, you're dabbling in this and dabbling in that, and you're like, wow, this is weird. I'm not going through my old routine of getting drunk on Friday or whatever. And then it's almost like it takes you like a certain amount of time, like after a year, to where I was like, holy, you know, wow, a whole year I haven't done it. And I started to get more confident. And then I started to feel like after a year, it was like all of a sudden I was like a kid again. All of a sudden things were exciting to me that hadn't been exciting since I was before I drank. You know, it was like all of a sudden, you know, going to the park and looking at the stream is exciting, and you appreciate it, and you don't need to be drunk to do it. And there will be come a point where you start to see that, and you start to see the life you've built after it and how good it is, you know, and how positive it is. And once you start to see all that progress, which takes time, then all of a sudden you're like, okay, wait a second, I am never going back to that again, because things are a lot better. And part of it is with me was, as I looked back at high school, and I told you I was buying and selling stuff at wholesale and paying, you know, we talk about entrepreneurship on this show, and, you know, and I'm buying and selling things at wholesale. I was paying state taxes when I was 16 years old, running a little business. Mm-hmm. And I was always doing something pretty ambitious, I felt.
Yeah.
And over the years that just kind of went away. It was like, if I didn't have a job with someone telling me where to be or this or that, I'm not going to. So once I cleaned up my act, I realized, wait a second, I can go get this deal on Craigslist now in the morning. I'm not hungover. I can go buy. I bought it. I showed you a whole York gym, pretty much. I was fortunate, you know, to be able to get that, a good deal on it from the 70s. You know, all these things that I'm, you know, the early bird gets the worm. I wouldn't have been drinking, you know. So I can go out and do that. I can lift better.
Sure.
And as you see all these things start to accumulate and all these positive changes, relationships of, you know, a big problem with my drinking was, you know, my relationships with
Absolutely.
Other people.
Yep.
And once you get away from it for a while, it's like, okay, I'm spending more time with my parents.
Yep.
I'm spending more time with girls, and it's, you know, there's at least a chance of a relationship instead of just chaos, you know.
Yeah, yep.
Or, you know, you're appreciating kids now. I have a lot of kids in my life now that I'm teaching things to. I've had kids over here lifting weights, and,
awesome.
You know, and once you see all this stuff, finally you're like, wait a second, you know, life really is better without that stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, and it is, it takes a little bit of time, but I really wanted to get on here to be able to talk about it, because I know there's lots of guys
sure.
sitting out there that are going through the same routine over and over and over, and they're like, well, you know, this is just the way it is, you know, and they're not living up to their potential, you know.
Well, the thing is, too, you know, what's happened is you built a lot of momentum up, and when you've got that type of momentum, there's not going to be anything that's going to stop you. You realize now, you know, life is the best teacher. And you got yourself into a jam, but you've also got yourself out. And, you know, you can go to people and say, hey, look, this was the life I was living, and this is where I am now. Because it's a win-win all the way. I mean, I don't care what it is. I mean, I know a lot of people have had issues with a lot of different things. But I'm just a believer, and eventually you've just got to literally beat it out of you. Literally, because if you don't, it's going to beat you. And, you know, we all have people that we know, or there's people in different people's lives that they face the same thing you've dealt with. And not everybody can get rid of it. You know, they go places, they do this, they do that, or they've been, you know, they've had things in their lives that haven't been kind to them. But, you know, I'm still a big believer, but, you know, I'm not coming from that avenue where you and a lot of other people have dealt with. You know, there comes a point that no matter what's going on in your life, And if you really want to get well, no matter what it is, you're going to do whatever it takes. But it's going to take a will that you've never felt before. And, you know, confidence is a scary thing, especially when you don't have a lot of it. You know, you've got a lot of people saying different things to you. A lot of times it's very hard to choose the right thing, to make the right decision. But I feel in my heart of hearts, if anybody other than, you know, everybody in the family here and on the show, if you get the opportunity to get a trainer, you get an opportunity to find, you finally find a decent gym, or you find a guy like Jeremy, somebody that's been through both sides, and I'm sure he's going to tell you, you know, the weightlifting is the better of the two. You could be very fortunate in what's going to happen to your fortunes down the road. You know, you're going to make or break yourself. Nobody else is. As I always say, you know, nobody can get in your head unless you let them. Nobody can take whatever they want from you unless you let them. There's too many of us giving our souls up to people that could care less about us. And this is one of the things I think with weightlifting. I think weightlifting, in my mind, makes you almost bulletproof. But it's going to take you a lot of years to get bulletproof. But if you're smart enough, and Jeremy's proven it, that you can have some serious problems. But he made a choice now, see? He followed it, whether he was sure or unsure of it, whether it was motivation, whether it was somebody else in his life, maybe something he read. He was smart enough to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go out, go after this, and succeed, like it or not. And when I do like it, obviously, I'm going to start going after other things. See, that's the essence of everything. You know, we talk about this. I'm going to read this quick. We talk about this passage all the time in Of Stones and Strength with Steve Jack and the late Peter Martin. And I can't emphasize this or the piece I read from Coach Wooden about the opinion of others. But when you look at and you hear this last four lines in Sons of Sisyphus, and anybody that doesn't have this book, I would tell you go out and get it. I read passages from this every morning when I get up and every time before I go to bed. But this is going to pertain to everybody here. And it goes like this. It is at the foot of the mountain that men are proven. Here a man must choose to take up his stone or surrender his dream. No assurance of victory is given, and yet, like Sisyphus, one must conclude that the struggle itself toward the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. And I'm going to read that last line again. The struggle itself toward the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. Jeremy, was a struggle, and I know you're probably still struggling at points. Is that enough to fill your heart?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, we're made by the challenges through our life and the problems that we have to solve, you know,
yep.
And that's what makes us who we are.
Yep.
You know?
Absolutely. I think people that truly understand strength, you know, are some of the most intelligent beings out there. And you've read many famous weightlifters who wrote things. As I say all the time, simplicity to me is the essence of life, is the key to your life. It's when you keep putting layer on top of layer, or you go out and buy this thing, that thing, and you know what? None of it's making you happy. In fact, you're going the other direction. You know something? You could go out there with a sandbag and a stone and be one of the most drop-dead people in the world. And I'm not kidding you either. There's so many little things you can add to other things that are going to enhance your life in a way that nothing else is. We're getting near time, but obviously we'll get you back. You know what I'd like you to do is obviously, and we'll get into the collecting on the next show, but this is real important. Obviously, you know, you are like the phoenix, man. You've risen from the ashes. Anybody that's dealing with stuff like this in their life, and they're not sure where to go, and obviously you've taken a little bit of a different route, and I'm glad you did. I applaud you for that. What would you tell somebody right now that's going to hear this show, and how would you influence them? Obviously, we've talked all the way through for the last hour, but a parting shot. What, you know, tell the people out there that have gone through this, that are going through that, and not only them, there's just people like you, myself, just people out there that are absorbing the world and stuff. What tips would you give for someone to really live a beneficial life that you love, you want to grow with, and you want to help others too along the way? So take your time. Give everybody what you would say.
You know, if you're struggling with addiction, you know, it's definitely powerful stuff, you know. Yeah. But the biggest is the fear of the unknown and or settling or thinking this is just the way it has to be. Like I tell people around here, you know, I know some guys that, you know, it's a personal thing, you know, deciding, you know, whether or not you're an alcoholic or whatever or whether or not you're going to quit. But there's some guys around town here that get in a lot of trouble over and over and over, and they just do it. And some of them I look back and I think, well, you know, they were raised this way or their family, this is just the way they always do it. And some of these guys accept that. And sometimes it helps to have a strong role model. I look back at when I was a kid, you know, in my family, drinking wasn't that common. And we were introduced to hobbies, whether it be music or racing or physical fitness. You know, and I was at least able to look back and say, hey, you know, my dad didn't need to drink all the time. These people didn't need to drink and they were happy all the time. Why do I need to?
Right.
So I was at least able to look back at some role models, I think. And a lot of guys struggle with, they're like, well, you know, my dad drank and my grandpa drank and everybody just, that's just what we do. But, you know, nobody has to do that, you know. Nobody has to just keep that going. You know, everybody can look and find someone that, and if you actually can make that transition and get away from it for long enough, you know, I told you how I feel like a kid in a candy store.
Sure.
I feel like I'm reborn and everything. I'm 40 years old right now.
Yep.
And I messaged Carmen Caputo asking him for a t-shirt, you know, and I was like, this guy's probably like, what is wrong with this guy?
Not at all.
But, you know, you're 4 years old. You're like just as enthusiastic once you get off of that lifestyle for a while as if you were like a teenager again, you know, and you're learning from these guys and you're looking up to them, you know, and I'm looking up to guys like Carmen and, you know, and admire the lifestyle that guy, you know, has put, you know, put up for him. And now I'm trying to, I don't participate in like, AA, I've kind of done a lot of things on my own, although I have seeked out help over the years when I was younger, you know, talk to people in AA or whatever. I'm not real familiar with that stuff, though. A lot of what I do has been on my own, I feel, or, you know, I don't know, I've kind of viewed myself as like a lone wolf usually. But the thing about it is I looked at this show as an opportunity because most recovering people, what helps them is, you know, going to those meetings and sharing their story and helping people. And by getting on here, I felt like it was more my arena because the lifting and, you know, I'm enthusiastic about it. And I'm sure there's guys out there that are struggling with, with some sort of addiction. And, you know, and if not people in their towns or their families, you know, we've seen how crazy it's been getting, you know, with the opiates and everything. And they can kind of get into the mindset a little bit and understand, you know, where we're, you know, where a guy's coming from. And, you know, and it's kind of, like I said, this is my way of sharing my story.
No, I think it's great.
Amongst some like-minded people and hoping that it'll just help some people out, you know.
Well, it's very inspirational. I mean, you know, you're coming from an addiction that, you know, we know it's killed a lot of people, killed a lot of family, marriages, you know, everything. I mean, it's like my good friend, he's a local guy when Sean Colnan was on here. Great people. I mean, you know, he lost his son, 15 years old, to heroin. And they found him dead in his bed. As Sean says to me, he'd rather be walking dead than deal with that every day of his life. And, you know, this is a guy that, you know, an incredible athlete, great person, very successful with his business, everything. It happens to anyone and everyone. You know, it's not just people that you figure, they're probably down or they're downtrodden or whatever. No, anything, whatever it is that causes these triggers can take and either you triumph over them or it does kill you in the end. And I'll say it, and I'll keep saying it, weightlifting to me, and we're just going to lump everything into that, is by far, I don't call it a sport. A lot of people like to use physical culture. I'll use it in Bill Hinburn's terminology, obviously, but it by far is the greatest endeavor you could ever get into. If you learn it, and you're never going to learn everything about it, but if you learn to practice just what it's about, it's going to encompass and take your whole life, because you're going to not do things that most people that would do, they'd be tempted to do. You're going to understand that your health is the most prevalent thing in your life. All right? Strength, honor, loyalty, your word. All those things, I know today a lot of people are like, it doesn't mean anything. It does to me, because I will not do anything with anybody that's not loyal. If your word's no good, I won't do anything with you with your word either. And this is what this stuff does to you. This will make the man or woman you always wanted to be. The point of the matter, it's got a lot of bad press through the years. A lot of the stuff that's out there, you know, you go out to Fake Book or a lot of these rag magazines. If that's what you're looking for your inspiration, maybe you're better off not doing anything. But if you listen to Eminem or you listen to any of the guests, the family on the show, you're going to find people that are not only competent, but when they put out stuff, they stand behind it, and they're good people. I mean, there isn't anybody I know that people, I know people have contacted each other through the show. People have listened to the show. I got to get their permission, but I was able to get them, you know, connected with different people that are on the show. So it's a great thing, and it's a great community, and it's a family. That's how we equate M&M. It is family here, and anybody that wants to be part of this family, there's certain things that we're going to ask of them. And I think that, you know, what you've done with yourself, Jeremy, and the people out there you are touching with your story and the people you're helping, you know, kudos to you, man. I mean, I'm very proud that you wanted to come on the show and you wanted to offer up the story. And you know, we'll do some more down the road, obviously. And I think it's a very good learning tool for people because, as you said, I know there's a lot of people, when they hear this, there's a lot of people that have been scratching their head for a long time. A few of the words you said during this show, think about it, just might change somebody's life. So give out anything you want. If you got anything that, you know, I know that you're not competing, but websites, obviously, I know they can get you through Facebook. You know, give all that out. I'll give my information. Hang on the line if you would, please.
Really, the only way to get a hold of me would just be through Facebook, Jeremy Best, Jeremy Best. I don't know what the address is or whatever for that, but
no,
I've added a lot
it.
Of the guys
yep.
from Motivation and Muscle on my friends list. You can track me down that way. I live in Tiffin, Ohio, but that's about it. And if anybody ever, you know, wants to message me or has any questions or just wants to vent about, you know, this subject, I'm all ears to it. If I can help anybody, I'd love to. And you know, I really appreciate Eric letting me on the show because, like I said, I listened to this show for how long, and you start to feel like you're in a family, and it's like, man,
yeah.
These guys have all these great things they can add.
Yep.
And I never set out to be, you know, out there as like this person with this problem or whatever, but it's like, if I did go through this and I feel like I never, you know, was living up to my potential, and I feel like I'm making some big improvements. So I just wanted to get on here and tell everybody, you know, you can definitely get rid of that stuff and be happy, you know?
Yeah. And we're glad to have you on, my friend. I mean, it's like, you're going to help many people out there. I guarantee you when this show goes up, it's going to be very interesting because, even if it's not alcohol, there's just a lot of things that people are facing now. And just, you never know. As I always say at the end of the show, five words can change your life. There's an awful lot of pressure going out in the world right now. There's a lot of very unhappy people. And my attitude about everything is learn to lift some weights, some stones, make yourself mentally strong, because I'll tell you, you can take a hell of a lot more than the average person walking around out there, and you never know what you're going to face any day of the week. So that's what I say to everybody. Never be afraid to do the things you need to do. This is Motivation Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the two books, Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle, and our free 30-day ebook. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out in our 700, show vault. There's just so much information out there. If you can't find anything or you need something, you can contact me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. If there's a show you'd like Jeremy and I to do, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. Go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've got, and I thank you for that. If you want to get motivation and muscle in your car, it's the AHA directory, A-H-A, all the new cars, and they do make aftermarket now for podcasting. I believe in the next 3 years, this is probably going to be the biggest medium out there. It's amazing. And we've already beat the curve. Most podcast shows don't last any more than 30 days. We've been up now over 2 years. I've rode this thing on my back like you wouldn't believe, and we're just going to get bigger and better. Also, too, go out. I'm trying to think. Do I want to? No, I gave all that out. One thing, like my mom says, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. But also, too, I said, when you meet up with people in the gym or the concrete jungle, 5 words can change your life. Inspire somebody. Don't worry about yourself. Inspire someone. Show them what you know and what they can become. Very important. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, pull it, press it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. As the great Hoos of Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Also, too, no one will ever clip our balls. And as the great Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning and who's been on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We will say that to the very end of time. We call it here now a testosterone balloon. That's what we are here. Also, too, Frank Klein, greatest business college teacher ever. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My pop, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my chiropractor for years, who it'll be 3 years this summer that we lost him to cancer. And he was like a father figure to me because my dad had died long before John. John would walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. I dare you to say that and not smile on your best or worst day. John was somebody that is truly, truly missed. John was a hell of a guy like my dad and like Frank. And Jimmy, my brother, those are the four people I think about constantly every day, among many other things. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends, because we're not going to knock on your door. We'll put our foot right through it. Be part of our revolution and be part of our family. Join up. I promise you the next 28 years are going to be the best time of your life. Jeremy, it's been an honor to have you on, sir. I can't congratulate you enough for what you've done with your life, and you decided to conquer something that could very well have taken you out of life. So here's to you, obviously continued success, and we'll get you back on the show again, my friend.
All right, thanks.
You are welcome. Well, before we sign off, the great Les Brown always says, you all have greatness in you. Well, we'll take it 2 steps further. We're behind you, and we believe in you. And I don't know many people that would ever put their neck on the line like that. But then again, we're not like anybody out there. We're the best, I'm telling you right now. So, for Jeremy Best, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. We're putting shows up one by one, but this will probably be at least a week because we got a ton to get going. So, we'll talk to you soon. Have a great week, and do something monumental, not only for yourself, but for others. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.